Have you ever been in a relationship that you wanted to go deeper? A relationship that meant something to you personally, you were excited about, somebody who you really liked, who you respected, who you hoped that you could take that relationship to the next level. Maybe it was you're remembering back to your high school years. For me, it was Dodie Arona. She was so kind and sweet and pretty, and you know, I was hoping that the relationship would grow, would go to the next level. And you probably had people like that in your life that you hoped the relationship would go deeper with, and they were kind and they were polite, and you know, it just seemed like they were distant. And no matter what you did, you couldn't get that relationship to move to the next level. You were creative in how you tried to pursue and how you tried to flirt and how you tried to get that relationship to go to the next level. And yet they were kind to you. They were polite to you. But there was still a distance. And you were caught in the friend zone, right? And not the close friend zone, but the 635th friend on Facebook zone, right? Perhaps for you it was, you know, you have adult children and you had a difficult relationship and now you are in a different place and your thoughts are, maybe we can repair this relationship, we can deepen this relationship, we can make it what I would like it to be now. And for all of your efforts, for all of your pursuits, for all of your invites, for all of your, you know, asking and inquiring and trying, it seems like that they are kind and polite, but there's still that distance. And as you look around and you see other, you know, people's relationships and you think, I would really like for us to move that. I'm really sad that earlier in our life that the relationship strayed and moved apart and that I was the way I was or they were the way they were, and I would really like to heal that over. I would like to have a relationship like I see in these lives, and yet for all of your pursuits and for all of your energy and for all of your efforts, there is a kindness, there's a politeness, there's a casualness about the relationship that is holding you at a distance, right? And no matter what you try to accomplish, no matter what you try to do, the relationship is not changing. Or maybe you're in a different place and you have, you're the child and your parents went through divorce and the relationship was strained, it was difficult, it was ugly, and there were things said, and there was ugliness that took place, and everybody was kind of distanced and in safe places, and now things have changed, and you hope that you can get those relationships to where you want them to be. And so you're in pursuit of one or both of those parents, and you're trying to bring everybody back and have some kind of what normalcy to relationship. You see other people who have parents who were divorced early, and it seems like they've been able to work it out, and they have a relationship, and they can get together, and even sometimes around holidays, they're all in the same place, and they can make things work, and so you're hoping that you can pursue that, and you can get this relationship to go one step further, just get it a little deeper, and yet it seems like everyone's kind and polite when they're around, but they're just distant. And they're holding you back. And for all that you try to accomplish and for all that you try to do, you sense that there's just distance between you and the people that you're trying to get close to. When we look at this passage of Scripture that we're looking at this morning, we see that the God of the Bible is the one who wants that intimate relationship with you. We see Him throughout Scripture as the one who's in pursuit of us, the one who is trying to deepen the relationship with us. And for all of his efforts and for all of his work and standing beside the road as the father that we're shown in the story of the prodigal son, who stands and waits on the son, who left in rebellion and now has found himself without and has found himself in need. And he's looking every day hoping he'll come down that road. We see the picture of God in the early Bible in Genesis of two that chose sin over God and two, a man and a woman that God created that decided to turn their backs on God's plan for their life. And instead of receiving everything that he had given to them to pursue the one thing God said, don't touch. And they went after that. And still with all of that, with that hurt and that pain of them saying they want not only what they want, but they want what belongs to God and they want their own way and they want to be God and they're not even reverencing him or giving him rightful place in their life. We see him come to the garden and we see him call for them. And they're hiding. And when they come out of hiding, they're polite, they're kind, and they're respectful, but they're holding God at a distance. They don't want the relationship with God that God wants with them. The God of the Bible wants an intimate relationship with his creation. But we've learned how to treat God respectfully and casually, but to hold him back at a distance. We've learned how to rebuff the call of God to deepen the relationship. We prefer a distant relationship. In the book of Revelations, John, the author there, one of the disciples of Jesus, writes seven brief letters to seven churches located in Asia Minor. And the seven churches in Revelation refer to the seven literal churches described in Revelations chapter 2 and 3. These churches are located in Asia Minor during the era of the Roman Empire. Archaeological remains of those seven churches exist today in the country of Turkey, in present-day Turkey. And these cities were major cultural hubs at the time and they have been throughout history. And during the first few centuries after Jesus, these Roman-controlled cities were very important in early Christianity. They were the places of travel where people came in and out from all over the world, and it was there that they would hear and have an opportunity to hear the message of Jesus Christ and to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And so it was very important and very vital to Christianity. I want us to look at the message that God gives to this church in Laodicea. And it begins in Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. We read it a moment ago. I want to revisit it with you. I know all the things that you do that are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. It's important for us to start by understanding that this is a letter not to the global world who doesn't know Jesus, but this is a letter to the church who profess to know God, who profess to want a relationship with God, who said in the beginning they wanted to deepen that relationship, and it is in this letter that God's calling them out and saying, you are not doing what you say you want to do, and I am pursuing you, and I want a deeper relationship with you, and you're being respectful and casual, but you're holding me at a distance. And God's talking to the people who are regular attenders in this church, the people who've resisted his call to intimacy. And so he goes on to say, you say, I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched. You are miserable. You are poor and blind and naked. What a contrast in perspectives. You think I'm rich and I have need of nothing. If you could just see yourself the way I can look through you and see you, you would see that you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, and you're naked. And then he goes on to say this in Revelation 3:20, I stand at the door and knock. If you will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and share a meal with you together as friends. This passage is so uniquely Christian, it could never be confused by any other world religion or spiritual journey. It is God who wants to be your Father. There is no world religion that teaches that there's a God that wants an intimate relationship with you, that wants a personalized relationship with you, that cares about you as an individual, that uniquely knows you, cares about you, is pressing in for a deeper relationship. When you hear about this God, you know you're hearing about the Christian God, because there is no other God that's pursuing people. He alone, among all of the gods of the heaven, has made you, and he wants an intimate and personal relationship with you. He wants that relationship to be personal, to be intimate with you, and he's concerned that you are closing off and not wanting that deeper and more intimate relationship, because everything flows out of that depth of relationship. What we're going to talk about next week, it's so key that we understand this week about the intimacy of God, because God has a call on each one of your lives, and you will not be open to the call of God if you're not open to the intimate relationship that God wants to have with your life. The life-changing intimate relationship. And so we find God, a picture that saddens me deeply. At the end of these letters to the last church, we find him not on the inside, not welcomed up to the platform to speak to his people. We don't find him talking amongst the leadership and counseling them about things that they should do. We see him standing on the outside of the church, knocking on the door, saying, "Let me in, please. You have my name on your door. You tell the community and the world that you're all about me. I would like to get in. I would like to have some influence in your thinking and in your worship time and in your prayer time. I'd like to have some influence in the direction that you're going and the things that you are pursuing." And we see Jesus standing on the outside saying, "Please let me in." In his majesty and his power, he formed us from the dust of the earth. He breathed this breath of life into us. But he limited his power over us so that we could make individual decisions like whether we would open the door or leave the door shut. A God who has limited himself. And he asks, "Will you let me in today?" Have we put Jesus in the friend zone? And not the intimate close friend, but the 635th friend on Facebook, the emergency call zone, that if something really goes wrong, we're going to need a higher power? Have we put him in the respectful but casual zone? Have we mastered doing that to Jesus, where we have rebuffed his call to deepen the relationship, and we become very, very good at coming up with excuses to push God further away? He's knocking. And he says, Revelations 3:21, "Anyone who hears," or with ears to hear, "must listen to the Spirit and understand what it is saying to the churches." Last week we talked about, our theme was belonging to him. And those who belong to him are clearly able to hear his call. But have we become those who are a stranger to God's will and a stranger to God's way? Because we've not allowed the intimate relationship that God's will and God's way are foreign to us. If we heard them, we wouldn't recognize them. Because we have disconnected, we become casual, we become in this relationship busy with other things and other priorities, and we've pushed him back. And now we are not even familiar when we hear God's will or God's way. We are strangers to it. Are we spiritually poor and blind? Bankrupt of an intimate relationship with God, blind to the destructive ways that we are heading and the decisions that we're making that are altering our life path. And the secret to drawing near to God is revealed. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 through 9 highlights on this. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ Jesus. We draw near to God through faith in Christ Jesus. We've come to trust in a lot of things as we have lived this life on earth. We've come to trust in people. We've come to trust in our own decision making. We've come to trust in the abilities of man to correct a problem and fix things. We've come to trust in a lot of things, but have we come to trust in God? Have we come to trust in Jesus, in Christ alone? There's a great promise that's found in Scripture in 2 Chronicles 16 and 9 that explains why Jesus is standing at the door knocking. The eyes of the Lord, he said, search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. There's a constant search going on, heavenward to earthward, of God seeking those who are ready to have committed hearts, who are ready to press in for a deeper relationship with him. And he's willing to stand at the door and knock until somebody opens it up and says, I don't know if everybody else wants you as intimate as I do, but I want you, so come on in. I want the depth of relationship. I want to change. I want you to transform me. I want to know you. I want a depth of relationship that will be so life-changing that others won't recognize me. He's waiting and he's watching for us to open the door and to let him in. In 1992, we were in Phoenix, Arizona, and I was beginning my role as the senior pastor. We had already been in the church for a number of years. I'd been a youth pastor and an associate pastor, but I was just starting now in this church as the senior pastor, and I was seeing things differently. You know, when you are setting at each level, your eye focus is all about what's in front of you. And I know 8.5 years as youth minister, all I saw was, you know, what was going on with our young people and the challenges that were there. And I was pressing into that. And I didn't really see as closely all the other things that were going on. You know, it was just that picture. As an associate pastor, I had my eyes on a lot of the operational things that were going on and trying to make some corrections and trying to do job descriptions and work on things that were going to move us along to the next level. And then when I became the senior pastor there, suddenly I had a picture of all of us together and what was going on with our church, our vision, and everything that was happening. And were we progressing as God would have us to go? And were we linked in? Did we understand what God's vision was for us together as a group and as a community? As I began to see this, I grew concerned. Something happened along about that time in our church, a big situation that I had really nothing to do with. It had been underway for some time, and it surfaced, and we saw some hurt and some pain that came out of that situation. And as I'm trying to deal with that as a young pastor, I began to grow greatly concerned at the casualness of our people with respect to their relationship with God. It became very unpredictable who was going to come to a service and who was interested in pursuing the things of God. And we started a prayer meeting, and this really kind of highlighted what was going on. You know, we started a prayer meeting, and it was going to be every Tuesday morning at 6 a.m. We talked to the people. Everybody was like, let's do it. Let's start praying. Let's find out, you know, what God wants us to do. Let's get together. Let's invite him to be, key in our life and a more intimate relationship. And so we started this, and for 4 solid weeks, you know, we had a decent group of people, you know, anywhere from, you know, 15 to 20 people were showing up. And after that 4th week, it was me and one other lady. And for a solid year, it was me and that one other lady. And I can honestly tell you, there were times that, you know, where I thought, I can't get up this morning, you know, because I had an hour drive in. So I had to get up around 4:30 to be able to get ready and make that drive in and meet there for prayer time. And, you know, I'm thinking, I just can't today, you know. And then I would think about that one lady standing out in the cold waiting for me to open the door. And she was my motivation. And later she told me, she said, you were my motivation, because I thought, this will be the week that I don't go and pastor's all by himself, and I don't want that to happen. And so we were each other's motivation. And so for a solid year, we're praying all by ourselves at 6 o'clock in the morning, her on one side of the church, me on the other side of the church, and playing some music, worship music in the back and touching God. And it was in the course of that time that God spoke to my heart about calling a prayer convocation for us as a church. I really never done anything like that. And God spoke into my life some things that should happen in the course of that prayer convocation. And so we called a prayer convocation for our church. And we said, you know, 3 days, it's going to be Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. We're going to come here and, you know, we're going to have a Sunday morning, Sunday night service, Monday night and Tuesday night. And we're just going to be speaking a little bit and then praying and worshiping God. That's what this is all going to be about. Most of the time that you're here, we're just going to be praying and asking God what he wants us to do. It was really well attended. People did show up and God began to break hearts and touch hearts. And it was clear that God was all involved in this. And it was along the last night that God, I'm somewhere, you know, near the front of the altar. And I'm like, God, is this it? Thank you for everything that you've done. And, you know, I just want to open myself up to hear you. Is there anything else that you want us to do? Should we extend this? Is this it? And God spoke to my heart. There's one more thing I want you to do. I want you to go speak to Marvin Elliott. Now, I knew who Marvin Elliott was. He was kind of a voice from the past for me. He was an older minister than I was at that time. Had been a pastor in that in the Arizona area for two churches, one in one of the areas where my mom and dad had pastored, and so that's where I first had met him. They were pastors in one city, and it was about 4 miles away from another city where he was pastoring. And we had met them and had a fellowship, and I knew their kids and all this kind of stuff. In fact, one of their kids was actually attending our church. But this church that I was pastoring, he had been the associate pastor at this church and had, during that time, a fall from a moral fall. And at that point, had left ministry and, as far as I knew, wasn't attending church. God said, I want you to speak to him. I'm like, haven't seen him in years. Don't know where to find him, you know. But God, what is this conversation I'm to have with him? What do you want me to say? And God said, you tell him I love him. You tell him I love him. That's it. I'm like, I'm supposed to hunt this guy down. You know, he hasn't seen me in years. It's literally been 2 decades since he's seen me. He won't even recognize me, you know. And I'm supposed to tell him that you love him. Okay, God, that's cool. Fortunately, have a family member in the church, I can probably find him. He was found out he was a truck driver. He was rarely in town. But we set the meeting up. It took about a month to get things set up. And I was meeting him for breakfast. Man, he was noticeably nervous when, you know, when I came into the breakfast place and I shook hands with him. It took us a little while to warm up and get it. I could feel that stiff arm, and he was holding me a little bit at a distance. And so we went all the way through the meal and talking and trying to catch up and find out where he had been and what had happened and all of this kind of stuff. And it was almost the point where it's time to go, and God says, you got to tell him. And I'm like, okay, well, here we go. And I said, I know you're wondering why I called you to come and have breakfast with me. We haven't seen each other in all these years. I have a message from God for you. And he sat back and kind of folded his arms and said, all right, what? And I said, God told me to tell you he loves you. Man, this guy broke down at that breakfast table and wept openly and caused me to weep. And we're just sitting there, two grown men weeping at the breakfast place. And when he was able to gather his words, he said, I have to tell you that all these years, as I've driven this truck down the road, that I'll listen at times to messages or sermons, and I'm reminded of the things that God did and God said in my heart and life. And he said, I've often asked myself, does God still love me? Am I still someone that God can piece back together? Is there a future for me with God in a relationship? Does God care about me anymore? And he said, even just recently, that's been happening. And thank you for sharing that with me. Long story, even a little bit longer, he wound up coming to our church, bringing his then wife, and there was so much healing that took place in that family, and it was miraculous what God did. But God had been in pursuit of Marmon, saying, I want an intimate relationship, inviting our worship team to come back, pressing in, saying, I love you. I want to be your heavenly Father. I want an intimate relationship. As they're coming, the worship team is preparing. I want to invite those who would like to be our prayer leaders this morning to step over here to my far right underneath this area. And we're going to be inviting you who would like to have special prayer to press in for a more intimate relationship with God. God loves you. He cares about you. And he wants that depth of relationship with you. And if that's you and you're saying, God's been speaking to me this whole service, it started during worship, and then I heard Joan's testimony, and then the message, and it's all fit together, and it's been God saying to me, he loves me, he wants a deeper relationship with me. I've been respectful, I've been casual, but I've held God at a distance, and that's done. Today, I want to press in, I want a deeper relationship with him, because I know God has a call on my life, and I'm not even going to hear that call until I'm in relationship with him, in an intimate relationship. My sheep, he said, know my voice. They hear it. And I want to hear God. I want to hear his voice crystal clear. And I know to do that, I need to have this intimate relationship. So if that's you, while they're singing, would you find your way over there and let the prayer team agree with you and pray with you? This is the day. This is the day to deepen the relationship with Jesus Christ.